Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and dias featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers. And Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers, all so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Courtroom coverage continues now.
Permission to approach, Your Honor?
Yes, you may.
I'm now handing you what is a case summary for your current pending Merrimack County Superior Court case.
Okay.
Having reviewed that, does that help refresh your recollection?
No, I was only aware of one.
But you are, in fact, facing two.
Apparently you say so, yes.
And those are two. I'll be happy to take that back if you want. Unless you need to look at it again.
No, I don't need it. I don't have a problem telling you that.
So in Merrimack County alone, you are still presently facing two charges carrying a maximum penalty of 3.5 to 7 years in prison.
Yes.
And there is a second court, correct?
Yes.
And that's Rockingham County Superior Court.
Yes.
And out of Rockingham County Superior Court, you're facing an A felony offense.
I am.
That carries a maximum penalty itself of 7.5 to 15 years.
Yes.
You also have a charge right here out of this very court, correct?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Itself a Class B felony.
Mm-hmm.
Itself punishable by up to 3.5 to 7 years.
It is.
And you indicated that there's a fourth?
I'm correct. Out of Bedford, I have possession of crack cocaine.
When did that charge come about?
I was arrested on August 12th of 2022.
That would also be a felony level offense?
It is a misdemeanor.
Okay.
Acts prohibited, I believe, or notes.
And even though you're scheduled for release in April on the sentence you're presently serving, those charges are all still pending.
They are still pending, yes.
And there is an additional problem as well, right? In each of those three cases, you failed to appear for court?
I did. And that's not a problem at all. I was in treatment, sir.
You were on the lam?
I was in treatment, sir.
Absconded from your parole?
I was in... I was in treatment, sir.
Yet your parole did not know you were in treatment and a warrant was issued?
I believe I've answered that question. And they did know where I was. But thank you.
And you would agree that failing to appear for court is itself also potentially a crime?
It is a crime, yes.
Bail jumping?
I was not charged with bail jumping, sir.
You haven't been charged with bail jumping yet since being arrested?
I was in treatment, sir, and I'm pretty sure that I verified that through the courts, and each of them know.
I want to change topics.
My criminal record.
Adam fought for 4 years to get Harmony?
Adam fought for 4 years? I mean, if you say so.
You don't recall telling the police that?
I didn't tell the police he fought for 4 years.
Let's talk about, you indicated something about standing in a corner.
I did.
She would stand in a corner and poop? Is that something that you said?
I said that she used the bathroom in her pants and he put her in the corner.
Okay, so we're not talking about the car.
No, I'm not. I didn't say anything about the car.
Okay, so this is something that would occur when they were living in a home or an apartment or something.
Correct.
Like that. So, Ms. Maines, on direct examination, it was elicited that you have met with the state before, correct?
I did, yes.
And one of those times that you met with the state was when you were in prison.
Yes.
And that was January 4th of 2023.
Probably.
But it was another time that you were incarcerated. You since got out.
Yes.
During some point of 2023, and now you're back.
Correct.
Okay. You recall being interviewed by a Detective Dunleavy?
I was, yes.
And you were wanting to get out of your situation, correct?
No.
You were in prison.
So?
You wanted to stay in prison?
I was out there on parole. Nothing you can do can help me with parole, sir.
Do you recall telling Detective Dunleavy that you wanted to have a recorded telephone conversation with Mr. Montgomery?
No, that I wanted to have a recorded conversation? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. You never told Detective Dunleavy that?
No. I actually told him I wanted to see him in person.
Well, you did say that, too. You wanted to go and visit Adam at Valley Street Jail, right?
I have been in contact with him while he has been incarcerated, sir.
At the time, Adam was at Valley Street Jail when you were at the Women's State Prison mm-hmm. in January of 2023.
Correct.
And you told Detective Dunleavy, I would like to go and visit him at Valley Street.
I did. Adam was a really good friend of mine.
But you also told him that you couldn't do it by yourself, right?
I will never see Adam again because I'm a criminal, sir, which means
you
I can't get into the jails or the prisons.
You told Detective Dunleavy that you would like to go and visit Adam at the prison, but you needed their help to do so, right?
No. Their help? Absolutely not.
Being incarcerated, you would agree that you would not be able to get to Valley Street on your own, right?
Correct.
You would have to be released with the assistance of the police.
No, absolutely. I was on parole, sir. You don't get to be released just because the police said so.
You told the police that you had nothing to lose?
What? I want to see that because I'd never said that.
While we're on the topic, at the very end of the conversation with Detective Dunleavy asked, do you have anything else for us? And your response was, I can tell you all about drugs, right?
No, absolutely not.
No doubt in your mind?
I was there for one reason, sir.
Fair to say that you wanted
Actually,
to
I was there for two reasons.
Situation.
The second reason was a personal reason. But we never spoke. The drug issue was on a personal reason, but it had nothing to do with Adam, and it had nothing to do with, it had to do with a sexual assault.
It had nothing to do with Adam, but it still had something to do with possibly improving your legal situation.
It did not. Nothing will improve my legal situation but myself.
I have nothing further at this time, Your Honor.
If I could please, Your Honor, just to briefly clarify this point.
With regards to your testimony here today, do you have any promises with the state about what's going to happen to your other charges based upon how you testify today?
Not at all.
Have you ever asked for any promises from the state in exchange for your testimony here today?
I have not.
You stated a moment ago on cross-examination that you said, I'm never going to be able to see him again. Can you please explain to the jury why, as somebody who's on parole or as a convicted felon, you're not going to be able to speak with him again, with somebody like him?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I could never go to Valley Street because I've been to Valley Street. I did some time there, and you are not allowed to go to a jail that you have been to. Secondly, the prison. You have to be 10 years with no arrests, no convictions, 10 years when you've been outside the prison. And at this time, I definitely can't say that I've done that.
Let me ask you also, you were asked about meeting with the state. And then you were asked about a meeting in January 4th of 2023. On your meeting recently with the state, in that meeting, did you meet with myself and Attorney Knowles?
I did.
Okay. And was that recent, just before this trial began?
It was. It was, I think, two, maybe three Fridays ago.
Maybe three Fridays ago. So we put it in January of 2024. Is that right?
That is right.
And yet, you were also asked about meeting with Detective Dunleavy. What year did that meeting take place?
Well, that was in 2022, and actually I didn't even know he was coming. I was scheduled to meet with Manchester PD's sexual assault.
So that is a different matter, a
Correct.
Different time, and a different meeting.
Correct.
So when counsel a moment ago said that you met with the state prior to trial, these are two different meetings with two different groups of people and two different agencies, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Finally, with regards to the criminal record that defense counsel went through, was the defendant aware of your criminal record?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you were still friends with him, right?
I was still friends with him. I actually have not been charged with any new charges in quite some time for myself. Okay. I've been clean and sober and working on myself, which is what I plan to do when I get out. The same exact thing.
Understandable. With regards to also when you were asked about the defendant talking about this pooping incident, that Harmony would do this on purpose, mm-hmm. I just want to clarify with regards to the timing. You were asked a moment ago whether that happened while Adam was in a car. Did
we
the defendant...
We were on our way back from Medway, Massachusetts.
So that's what you meant by in the car.
Correct.
Not that the incident occurred in the car.
Correct.
And correct me, with regards to your testimony on direct, didn't you say on direct that it was after these incidents and this backhand incident, that's when he decided to bring her back to his mother, her mother?
It was. I was told in the time of Thanksgiving 2019.
Thanksgiving 2019.
Correct.
Okay.
He put her in the car and met her mother.
And who was it that told you that?
Adam Montgomery.
Thank you. No further questions at this time, Your Honor. Thank you, Ms. Maines.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Maines, I do want to clarify. It's your testimony that when you met with Detective Dunleavy January of last year, 2023, you were not trying to offer new ways to try and get information from Adam so as to improve your situation and get out of prison?
I was on a parole violation, sir. I got all of my time suspended. I didn't need your help to get out. All of my time was suspended upon entry into a program.
At the time that you had this second this interview with Detective Dunleavy, mm-hmm. there was your parole situation, but you were facing the very same three charges that you're facing now, correct?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And we don't need to rehash them all again, but it was the Merrimack
charge.
Actually,
it was four. But...
That's right, out of Bedford.
Correct.
Okay. So those charges were all still pending then.
I just want to be honest. They are still pending. They were still pending then.
Okay, and again, what you're saying is that Adam told you that he had backhanded Harmony after she had her hand over, you think, Declan's mouth.
He did, yes.
And this was around Thanksgiving.
No, he returned her to her mother around Thanksgiving of 2019.
And that's what prompted her to do so, or
that,
him to do so.
It was an incident that we had spoken about coming home from Medway, yes.
And that's what prompted him to send her back to her mother.
Correct. He said that he just wanted to make sure that he wanted to make sure that she had the proper care.
Ma'am, you are excused.
Thank you.
Any objection to her being excused?
Without objection.
Just please be careful of the
yes.
wires. State may call its next witness.
Yes.
Standing when you get to the podium, sir. And Captain Larchelle, if you please go ahead and raise your right hand, sir. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you give this jury will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, sir. Please feel free to have a seat. As we are being recorded for the record today, would you please state your full name and spell both your first and your last name for the record?
Sure. It's Matthew LaRochelle, LaRochelle. First name is Matthew, MatthewHew.
And Captain LaRochelle, as we can probably guess from your title, where are you currently employed?
I currently work for the Manchester Police Department.
How long have you been working at the Manchester Police Department?
Been with the Manchester PD for approximately 24 years. I was hired in the year 2000.
In the year 2000?
Yes.
All right, thank you. I'm going to ask you to maybe scoot a little bit closer to that microphone, if you don't mind, just so we can make sure we can all hear you there. With regards to your time at the Manchester Police Department, are you a full-time certified officer through the state of New Hampshire?
Yes, I am.
And did you graduate from a Police Standards and Training Academy class?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember your academy number?
123rd.
123rd. Could you please go ahead and explain what are some of the different units and duties that you've been assigned while you've been at the Manchester Police Department throughout your career?
Sure. Like with any officer, I got hired in 2000. I spent about 3.5 or 4 years in patrol. I went from patrol to our community policing unit. I worked in CP for a couple of years. And then in 2007, I was assigned to our detective division as an investigator.
So, detective in 2007?
Yes.
All right. And from there, I see that you're a captain now. How long did you spend at the detective unit, and when did you change ranks?
So, I was a detective for about 7 years. In 2013, I got promoted to the rank of sergeant. I went back to the street as a street sergeant. I did about 3 years as a street sergeant in the patrol division, at what point I went to... back to our juvenile investigative unit in 2015 as a supervisor, as a sergeant.
In 2015 in the juvenile unit?
Yes, sir.
And could you please just, for the jury's benefit, explain what type of criminal investigations does the juvenile unit conduct?
Sure. So the juvenile unit is part of the investigative division overall. We investigate crimes against children, specifically sexual and physical assaults against children.
So being there as a sergeant in 2015, what was your next change in rank and what unit did you work with?
So I worked in the juvenile unit until 2018. I was actually promoted in 2018 to lieutenant. I stayed in that unit. Again, that unit falls under the investigative division. So at that point, my role increased a little bit in the fact that I incorporated the domestic and sexual violence unit. So under the umbrella of investigative division, there's the juvenile unit and the domestic and sexual violence unit. Both units have their own sergeants. I got promoted to lieutenant and then oversaw both of those units at that time until my most recent promotion in 2022.
So with regards to being the lieutenant over the juvenile unit, and you said also the sexual assault unit at the time, you were there in 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022, correct?
Yes, I was.
You said that you were promoted in 2022. At what rank did you get promoted to?
In 2022, I was promoted to captain, which is my current role. I oversee our community affairs division at this point.
And what does the community affairs division do?
Community affairs division encompasses community policing and our traffic unit. So essentially, neighborhood-specific concerns, concerns that the average patrol officer that's out handling calls and going call to call, if they can't focus on a neighborhood issue or a community issue, we can designate one of our 12 officers to go and handle that specific issue.
From the time that you were working in the juvenile unit, were you involved in the investigation into the disappearance of Harmony Montgomery?
Yes, I was.
What were some of the things that you did as part of that investigation? What were some of your duties there?
Obviously, when that call, when that report came into us, it was kind of an all hands on deck type thing. Obviously, full resources of the police department and our partner agencies. My role was just general oversight, guidance. The detectives working on the case had their assignments, and we just, there were several supervisors that oversaw that case, but just generally making sure the detectives doing the work had what they needed, coordination with other entities, other agencies throughout the state, and local and state agencies that we worked with.
You talked about local and state agencies you worked with. Could you go ahead and kind of tell us about some of the different agencies that you were a liaison with for this investigation?
Sure. So we worked closely with state police. We worked with New Hampshire Fish and Game. Several searches that we conducted were with Fish and Game. They assisted us. We worked with federal partners. We had the FBI was involved. So we had folks from all kinds of different agencies in and out of our office for months. The U.S. Marshals Service had a designated deputy that was assigned to this investigation, and just kind of the liaison between everybody.
Okay. Did you ever work or liaison yourself with other agencies out of state or outside of federal government?
Yes, I did.
Okay. With regards to also some of the other duties that you've had on this case, was part of that at different times to listen to jail calls that were made?
Yes, it was.
From other individuals. And other times, were you asked to listen to other lawfully recorded calls that were made?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And finally, with regards to physical searches, what was your role in with regards to any physical searches that were made?
We did physical searches of many different locations throughout the city. We did searches of a wooded area on the west side. We did searches of the riverfront area on the north end of the city. We did searches of Bear Brook State Park, which is, if you're not familiar, just about a half an hour north of here. We did searches out of state that I was familiar with. I wasn't directly involved in those, but several searches throughout the course of a six-month period.
All right. I'd like to get to those, each one of those searches, but I want to start with kind of staying at home with regards to in Manchester. At any point during the investigation, did you have any contact with individuals at the Manchester School District about Harmony Montgomery?
Yes, I did.
And why did you do that?
I reached out to the school district just basically in the early days, early on in the investigation, to see what kind of contacts they might have had with Harmony, if she was ever enrolled in school or not.
Okay. And with regards to that, did you discover whether she was ever enrolled in school in the Manchester School District?
I discovered that she was not enrolled.
What about in any of their records for early enrollment programs for younger children?
They had no record of Harmony Montgomery or her date of birth in their system.
you talked about some of the searches that were conducted. I'd like to know what searches for Harmony did you personally participate in?
I mentioned the West Side search. That was the, it's an area, a large wooded area, Rock Rimmon area, if you're familiar with that area on the west side of the city, behind Mount Calvary Cemetery. It's probably hundreds of acres. We searched over there after receiving tips that led us to that area. And there was also a search, as I mentioned, on the north end of the city along the Merrimack River.
Okay. You said a search along the Merrimack River.
Yes.
Where would that have been along the river?
It's an area off of North River Road, West River Drive. There's some apartment buildings in particular that led us to that area, and we searched a wooded area along the river, adjacent to the river.
Did you participate in any of the searches of 77 Guilford Street?
Somewhat. I was there. I was not directly overseeing that portion of the investigation, but I am familiar with it.
And what about an area known as Stark Park over near River Road?
Yes, that would be the area I'm speaking of as okay. Well. That's the Stark Park area.
That particular search, that Stark Park area, what, if anything, did you coordinate to make sure that search was done?
We had reached out. I had specifically reached out to New England Canine Recovery. That's an organization that has canine teams. Handlers with their canine partners that specifically search wooded areas for, they do search and recovery, but they also do, they can do cadaver work as well.
And did you contact them to search those areas?
I did.
Were there any searches that were done in that area, not necessarily on land, but on water?
There were. We searched with the assistance of New Hampshire Fish and Game. We searched the area of the Merrimack River. Again, if you're familiar with that area, it's the area of the dam, the Eversource Dam, and then it would have been northerly above the dam. We did a full-day search of that area.
Searching the dam, were you present for that search?
I was.
Okay.
And I was present by shore. I was not physically on the boats with Fish and Game, but I was in the area.
From shore, were you able to observe how that search of the dam was conducted?
I was.
And how was it conducted?
Fish and Game utilizes several of their officers in boats. They have teams. I can't accurately testify to what those consist of, but there's several people in the boat. They, for safety reasons, they have an officer that's hooked up to oxygen that they put in the water that can actually, they're actually dragged behind the boat while they're physically searching. They also have submersible robots that they can use as well, which they utilize that day.
Were you involved at all with the search over at 644 Union Street?
I was.
Okay. Were you present there for that search?
Yes, I was.
What were some of the other agencies that were present with you when that residence was searched?
Again, that would have been our federal partners. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was there. We had members of the Marshal Service, like I said. There may have been some state police there, I'm not sure, but several entities there. That was an entire day. We pretty much took over the entire block.
Just to clarify, was the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the FBI, part of that search as well?
Yes, they were.
I'd like to ask you, with your work in the juvenile unit, have you heard of an organization, sometimes also referred to as NCMEC or NCMEC?
Yes, I have.
And what is that, the NCMEC, what does that stand for? What is this organization?
So NCMEC is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They're a national organization that facilitates and organizes searches for, they assist law enforcement. We can call them with info, they can call us with info. I was basically the direct liaison between this investigation and that organization. I probably spent time on the phone with them at least once a week during this investigation.
Had you worked with them before for children who were missing or believed to be exploited?
I had.
Okay. And what was some of the information that you provided to them as part of your work with them to try to find Harmony?
Specific to this case?
Yes.
We basically provided them any photos that we had. We asked them to do the same. And at one point when a DNA profile was identified for Harmony, we provided that to them as well.
Did you ever personally reach out to National Center for Missing and Exploited Children about tips that they had generated that needed follow-up?
Yes, I did.
And I want to ask you about some of those tips. Did you ever receive a tip that Harmony was alive in a place called Surprise, Arizona?
Yes, we did.
What did you do to follow up on that tip?
So we got the information anonymously that Harmony was alive and attending a school in Surprise, Arizona. I personally reached out to that police department, tried to make contact with an officer. I think I spent 2 or 3 days working on that. Eventually, we were able to get an SRO, which is a school resource officer. School resource officers are typically assigned by municipalities to focus on schools. So they sent their school resource officer to that school to make contact with the person that that we had a photo of and actually made an eyes on identification.
So even though it's a town nowhere near New Hampshire, it's in Arizona, you still followed up on that lead?
Yes, I did.
Why?
We're working, again, it's an all-hands-on-deck investigation. We're working, it's the most important investigation we've ever worked on, and we're dealing with a 7-year-old missing child.
I can approach you, Ron.
Zoom in.
I'd like to show you Community Mark States Exhibit 101. Do you know this man?
Yes.
Who is it?
It's Adam Montgomery.
Have you seen him in person before?
Yes, I have.
Have you heard him speak before?
Yes, I have.
Have you heard him talk to other people before?
Yes, I have.
Can you recognize his voice in person?
I can.
And can you recognize his voice over the phone?
Yes.
Have you reviewed some lawfully recorded calls of his voice?
I have.
And with regards to those particular calls, I'm going to show you what's been marked States Exhibit 156 for identification. I'd like to ask you whether or not you recognize that exhibit. Feel free to open up the envelope.
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
This is a disc containing a phone call made by Adam Montgomery, which I have listened to, and it actually has my signature on it.
Your signature?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you, with regards to that particular, it's got your signature on this disc itself?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, with regards to that particular call, is that an entire call, or is that a portion of a lawfully recorded call that you listened to?
I believe this is a portion of a call that's longer. It's okay. An 8-minute call. I believe this is shorter than that.
Have you heard all of the original recorded call?
Yes, I have.
Okay. With regards to what you listened to on that particular CD, is that accurate in terms of that portion of the call that you heard originally is unchanged for the part of it that's on that CD?
That is accurate, yes, sir.
So that this is a small piece of the whole?
Correct.
Also, with regards to that call, separate from that, is there any sort of visual component to that call on that disc as you reviewed it? Basically, is there a transcript of what is said in the recording as you listen?
Yes.
Have you reviewed that transcript, the words that are on the page?
Yes, I have.
Is that accurate for that particular phone call?
Yes, it is.
Is it accurate for the identifying properly Adam Montgomery's voice?
Yes.
Is it accurate for identifying the generally that he was called another individual in that person's voice?
Yes.
This time, Your Honor, I'd ask the court to strike exhibit number 156, and he entered as a full exhibit.
Any objection?
Subject to the prior conference at the bench.
All right. The ID is stricken, and it's entered as a full exhibit.
Thank you.
Detective Larichelle, with regards to this particular CD, I've preloaded the contents of this onto an area of the drive, and it's my understanding without defense objection, we're going to play that recording now. What I would like you to do, please, Detective, is to be able to listen to the entire recording, and then I may have some questions for you as we go through, okay?
Okay.
Say full screen.
About halfway down.
One more, that's it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Wasted their time. Is that Adam Montgomery's voice?
Yes, it is.
With regards to the search by the river, I believe you just testified a moment ago on direct that there was a search by the river, correct?
Yes, there was.
And you also testified that there were searches involving the FBI. Is that also?
Yes.
When you heard defendants say on there that they just wasted their time, you know, with regards to searches? Were those some of the searches that you told us that you were involved in?
Yes.
And when you heard him describe in that call saying that it was just a way to waste taxpayers' money, dude, was that transcript accurate as to his words?
Yes.
When you heard the defendant say, just think about how much money you're wasting in an effort to prove something, is that part of the transcript accurate?
Yes, it is.
And is that what you heard said by Adam Montgomery?
Yes, it is.
And when you heard the defendant say, I get it, you're trying to prove a case, kudos to you, but at what cost, man? You're just going to chase down people from Arizona. Is that part of the transcript accurate?
Yes, it is.
And the tip that you described for us a moment ago that you worked on from Surprise, Arizona, is that the tip that you chased down?
Yes, it is.
Do you agree with what the defendant said in the call, that your work to find Harmony was a waste of time and money?
We have an objection. Hold on. The objection sustained.
Captain Larichelle, with regards to the transcript that you've just taken us through, is that a fair and accurate account of the defendant's statements as you recognize them to be?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Captain. I have no further questions for you. Defense may.
No questions.
All right, sir, you may step down.
Thank you.
Your Honor, with that, the state rests.
All right, counsel, just approach for just 1 minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know there have been a lot of stops and starts today, and part of what I was discussing with the lawyers at the bench is what's most prudent so that we're respectful of your time as we can be. The state has now rested their case, so for tomorrow there will be a determination as to whether or not the defense wishes to present any evidence. As I've already told you before, the defendant has no obligation to prove his innocence in this case. The burden is on the state to prove his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So if the defense wishes to, they may present evidence, but they may choose not to. That is their right. Should they decide that they wish to present evidence, that would happen tomorrow. We would begin there. And then beyond that, it would be time for closing arguments and final instructions. So that's where we are. So I'm going to release you for the day today, for the rest of the day. I'm going to have you come back tomorrow morning at 9:45. Okay, so we'll have a 10 a.m. start. I'll ask you to come back tomorrow at 9:45 a.m., a little bit later. I really want to try to see if we can make sure that we've done all the business that needs to be done and that we're ready for you at 10 a.m. Once again, I cannot stress strongly enough, you are not to read anything about this case, not watch any news about the case, don't read anything in the papers or on social media, anywhere else on the internet. You're not to discuss the case with each other or with anyone else. Don't do any independent research. Don't drive by any of the locations. As has been the case throughout this trial, the lawyers have been instructed they're not to communicate with you. So please, once again, don't hold it against them if they pass you in the hallway without acknowledging your presence. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We will see you tomorrow morning at 9:45. All rise for the jurors, please.
More continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, is on the way. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.